Paola Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project by Anthony Gorman in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 10th of October 2009 and the time is 12:15 p.m. And for the record, our next participant is a backup. Okay, please could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
My name is Jenna Rossi Camus. I'm 32 years old. I'm from New York City, but I live in London. I came initially to study theatre design at Motley in Covent Garden, and my husband does a PhD now, so we've continued to live here since 2005.
And how have you found your time in London? Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I enjoy it very much, and I have to say one of the things I enjoy most is the multitude of arts projects and participatory and museums, and that's what my work is involved with now.
And would you tell me a little bit more about your work?
I'm currently finishing my master's in fashion curating, I'm a dress historian but also a designer, and I currently work for a set designer who does projects ranging from museum based to corporate based, a lot of fashion work, and I'll be curating a number of projects next year, but I also do performance and live art with a company I founded here called Lotus Collective.
And what kind of performance am I
about? A lot of site-specific projects that are based not necessarily on narratives but on myth. We've actually not done a project in the UK for a few years. We did one in Italy and just came back from one in Beirut.
And what have those experiences been like?
They've been fantastic. They've been opportunities not only to travel and to know people but to introduce a type of performance that's not connoted as necessarily solo performance and not necessarily theater. So I think it's widening people's range of what is art, what is entertainment, and what is the nexus of the two.
And how did you get into your line of work? What was your interest in it initially?
It all came from arts education throughout my life. So I've been drawing. My parents are trained artists and my dad's a photographer. And I've been drawing since I was a kid, and that's actually what my performance will consist of today. I've gone from training in art and design, art history, and some theater, and sort of liking to be both behind the scenes and on stage.
And have you always managed to combine the two and do some work behind the scenes and some work?
Pretty much. I think that I always had, when I've been behind the scenes, I've always had a bit of envy to be a performer, not professionally, like a professional actor, but and then sometimes I just think, oh, I'd rather be that person, who is invisible, who you don't know, who's actually contributed, but you see their impact.
And is your focus at the moment the masters that you're doing, or do you do that alongside?
It has been for the past year on academic and study, in the middle of last year I did a practice-based research project where it was combined with studying performance in museums, studying presentation of historic dress, and the act of drawing. So actually, as I'm finishing my master's, I'm looking to do more of these projects.
And are you able to put into words what it is you enjoy about being a performer or the master's that you're doing? What is it that you get out of it?
I think that for me, the master's is, because it's less about performance, it's more about having been an eclectic person for 30 years and tying it all together and seeing that there is, from all of these sort of disparate experiences insatiable curiosity, there is something that can tie it all together, and it's not really giving up being an artist, but it's sort of contextualizing a bit what you do. So that's been the main thing that I've gotten out of the MA, and hopefully I'd be really honored to be able to work in the museums in the UK, so that's looking forward.
Is that something that you found different to New York
in New York the what I would call the theater of life, I think, is more vibrant, and there's much more going on, and I think people are more outspoken, but at the same point, things are really economically driven, and it's really difficult. I mean, unless you're the kind of performance artist that doesn't need any funding or backing, or doesn't actually need audiences to pay to see what you do, it's really difficult. So there's obviously a lot of authentic and very interesting things that can happen, but you are pretty much going to also have to have some sort of grueling, potentially, job alongside that. And I think here there is more opportunity to work in you know, the creative industries, and that's not really something that it's quite commercial in the States. And my memory of being there was always having three or four jobs at once, and hoping that I still had time to do something else, whereas here I think the big difference is people kind of, audiences consume the arts in a much more matter-of-fact way, and I think it's ingrained in life in a different manner.
So you've touched upon what you'll be doing on the plate. Would you tell us in a little bit more detail exactly
I'm going to spend the hour drawing. I've got two sketchbooks, small and a large, and just going to do observational drawing of the square, and depending on how good my sight is, focusing on people, because this is a continuation of a performance that I did in February inside the National Gallery, which I called Performing Anachronism, where I spent the entire opening hours of the museum drawing in every single gallery room in the museum. And I didn't talk to anyone unless I was spoken to, and I was spoken to by quite a lot of children, which was great. You know, went around and was both a performance that was not sanctioned by the museum, but obviously not obtrusive, and drew people. So I didn't draw reproductions of paintings or necessarily the architecture of the room, but observed the way that people walk around the museum, what they wear, how they look in comparison, also noted bits of conversations. So my hope was to transform people's experience of the museum, because it was obvious that I was wearing something that was real, not only by how it looks, but I think by how it smells, because they're all real Victorian clothing that are tattered, and I didn't alter or change them in any way, to see how people react to there being something that could actually be in a museum being worn by a person who is, you know, observing them. So it was fantastic, and it also really belonged in the National Gallery, because part of the inspiration was a literary allusion, which was a part of Henry James' Wings of the Dove, where it's described of, the protagonist describes spending some time in the National Gallery watching lady copyists, who were young women who were students of drawing, who would go into the museum and reproduce great works of art to sell. So, and I found engravings actually of the lady copyists, so I took that as an inspiration as well. But I would like to do the performance in places where the contrast is greater, like the Tate Modern or even internationally.
And what will you do with, or what did you do with the images that you...
I've got them. They're in a sketchbook, and so I have them as a record, and I have photographs, some sneakily taken photographs of myself from afar in the galleries. So I'm compiling a record of these performances.
And will you keep the images that you do today with those as well?
It's sort of a dilemma, because I had the sketchbook that I used in the National Gallery, which is quite small and running out of pages, and then I have a larger one that I've used in another performance of drawing that I did without period costume, called 3 Minute Muses, where I did it in a live art event, and I went around in a robe and asked people if I could draw them, and if they consented, then I disrobed, so I was the nude model drawing and they were dressed, and it was really successful and people really responded to it, so that's been the other side.
And what's the reason for you wearing your costume today? Could you describe it?
Yeah, my costume today is actually a bit of a hybrid. So it's an 1890s bodice, most likely a mourning bodice. But because I didn't want to appear to be in mourning, I've got the bustle from another costume that is probably 1860s, and that one was falling apart, so the top was unwearable. So I did the unspeakable, and I cut the top off of it so that I could just wear the bustle. And the skirt is from the early 1950s. So there's just it's a bit of a mishmash, a bit of a hybrid, but I was really just going for an overall shape and silhouette. I've been a costume designer as well, so just thinking about the impact and the distance so that it would read as period.
And what is the impact that you would like to have by going up doing what you're doing today?
I think that really just to be remembered as an image and to be a living link with history.
And what was it about the project that first appealed to you and made you want to take part?
I think anything that creates a dialogue between artists, cities, and audiences really interests me. As Gormley's work had been really present in London the past 2 years, and definitely since I've lived here, when he had the figures all around London, is when I was studying in Covent Garden and walked over Waterloo Bridge every day, and I could see that, you know, that was sort of my morning every single day. And I also have a really strong memory of his show in the Hayward Gallery. I think that it's because my partner and I were actually having a really awful time of it, and we were on our way to that exhibition anyway, and we were just really feeling kind of questioning everything in life, and not necessarily angry with each other, but we kind of parted ways when we went into the gallery, and then we bumped into each other again inside the cube with the mist. So I have like this really impactful memory of that, and it wasn't so much necessarily fandom of an artist, but just feeling that already my memory of London was intertwined with Gormley's work.
And what does it mean to you to be a part of this project?
I think that maybe I'd be able to be able to better say afterwards, but I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to do it. Like I said, I really was checking my inbox, you know, faithfully, and thinking I had a feeling that I might get to do it, you know, glad to have be able to be an understudy. And I know, as my partner actually had the opportunity 2 days ago to go up, and he felt afterwards that it was like, even more than he'd hoped, and when he saw the images, even more so. So I'm sure it will definitely be part of my personal archive of memories of art and the city.
Do you have any expectations about your
artwork? I expect that I'll be able to make a lot of drawings. I'm not trying to hold on to kind of the preciousness of creating a beautiful work, but more a notation, you know, like if I were writing out in words, it would possibly be the same. I expect that people might try to talk to me, which is natural, but I hope that I won't be heckled, but I don't think, because I'm not going up and making a verbal statement or, I think it's, in a way, it's just like in museums, the way that you accept something as an object to be admired, and there's a distance, and you don't think that, you know, it's necessarily going to talk back to you. I think that the image inspires that in people, and they are generally pretty intrigued and polite.
Who would you say that you're doing it for?
I think that I'd say that... I think I'm doing it for whoever happens to look. It's not that I don't want to say that I'm doing it for myself, which I think is clear because it's part of like ongoing research that I'm doing. But the person I'm doing it for doesn't even know it yet.
And would you mind telling us what other things that are important to you in your life?
Yes, in my life at the moment, my family, both who are my friends who are here with me in London, and my family in the States, certainly my husband, and I think it's very important to us at the moment to live each day as it comes. We've lived with kind of question mark for about 5 years about where we're going to live and what we're going to do. And I think, you know, whenever that anxiety comes, we just think, actually, we're doing so much that we want to do, and that we're really fortunate. We really do say every day we're really glad that we're here, and that we're able to pursue doing what we want to do, you know, in the midst of so much misfortune, I think, of other people and other places.
Brilliant. Well, thank you. Have a wonderful hour.
Thank you.